The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, I found you, it's Hugh Hewitt, inside the Beltway in the ReliefFactor.com studio, a good Thursday morning to you. Well, we're over the hump. The Democratic National Convention is now on the downslope. I knew President Obama was going to blister President Trump, that happened. You knew Kamala Harris was going to give a good speech, that happened. But the main event, really the only event of this week, is tonight when Joe Biden talks and we get a look at him. But let's do the obligatory couple of grabs here of President Obama first. Cut number 18, going a little bit far here, talking about Trump and his, quote, enablers. Cut 18.
They believe that in a democracy, the right to vote is sacred, and we should be making it easier for people to cast their ballots, not harder. They believe that no one, including the president, is above the law. And that no public official, including the president, should use their office to enrich themselves or their supporters. They understand that in this democracy, the commander-in-chief does not use the men and women of our military who are willing to risk everything to protect our nation as political props to deploy against peaceful protesters on our own soil. They understand that political opponents aren't un-American just because they disagree with you.
All right, stop right there. You see, I think that President Obama may have misjudged the moment here vis-a-vis the protesters. He went all in on the protesters last night. And I thought to myself, I just don't think he's in touch anymore. The Martha's Vineyard house, the Calorama house, the Hawaii house, the Chicago house, the billions of dollars in book deals, millions actually. The big speeches, I don't think he really understands what it's like to live in Chicago anymore. The community organizer is organizing lots of book parties, but in fact, let's play cut number 27. This might shock you a little bit. Again, the president is talking, President Obama is talking from the Museum of the American Revolution, apparently supposed to charge his speech with a little revolutionary glory. I don't think so. Cut 27.
Americans of all races joining together to declare, in the face of injustice and brutality at the hands of the state, that Black Lives Matter. No more, but no less. So that no child in this country feels the continuing sting of racism. To the young people who led...
Stop for a second. This is not, see, it doesn't work for President Obama without a crowd. He gave his, and it was just kind of sad. Not having a live audience, I hope the Republicans are studying up. Don't do this. Have a panel discussion back to President Obama. Can you pick that up where he gives his little shrug?
Americans of all races joining together to declare... in the face of injustice and brutality at the hands of the state, that Black Lives Matter. No more, but no less. So that no child in this country feels the continuing sting of racism. To the young people who led us this summer, telling us we need to be better, in so many ways, you are this country's dreams fulfilled.
All right, stop. You see, at that point, I think it's a complete swing and a miss. Because he's talking to Antifa here, to the young people who led this country this summer. And honestly, look, nobody's watching this thing. They're down in the 20 millions. And so it's in 125 million people vote. But I see all the headlines about him blistering President Trump. And I say to myself, they didn't see the same speech. Now, Kamala Harris did a little bit better. Here she is, cut number 25, talking about no vaccine for racism.
The loss of normalcy, and yes, the loss of certainty. And while this virus touches us all, we got to be honest, it is not an equal opportunity offender. Black, Latino, and Indigenous people are suffering and dying disproportionately. And this is not a coincidence. It is the effect of structural racism.
All right, stop. This is where she got off the rails again. Conventions typically celebrate America. They don't blame America. And structural racism is an appeal to a small slice of the Democratic base. And the rest of America hears, you're calling me a racist? And that's what she was doing. Now, she round up with, the first of many blistering attacks on President Trump, probably the best part of her speech, cut number 36.
And at every step of the way, I've been guided by the words I spoke from the first time I stood in a courtroom. Kamala Harris for the people. I have fought for children and survivors of sexual assault. I fought against transnational criminal organizations. I took on the biggest banks and helped take down one of the biggest for-profit colleges. I know a predator when I see one. My mother taught me that service to others gives life purpose and meaning. And oh, how I wish she were here tonight, but I know she's looking down on me from above. I keep thinking about that 25-year-old Indian woman, all of 5 feet tall, who gave birth to me at Kaiser Hospital in Oakland, California. On that day, she probably could have never imagined that I would be standing before you now and speaking these words. I accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States of America.
You see, that is cool. That's Kamala at her best. Now, she mentioned in passing the takedown of Corinthian. That's a for-profit college. I think maybe that's going to haunt her. People should go look at that story. I know the other side of that story. And I think she destroyed a fine organization that was credentialing people in a vendetta. But the rhetoric there was grade A. It really was. It was grade A. Let's recognize this. But there were critics. Chris Wallace obliged himself to watch everything. Cut number 26.
I got to agree with Carl that tonight reminded me of nothing so much as Kamala Harris's whole campaign for president. Started out with this huge rally in Oakland, 20,000 people cheering, and she flamed out and was out of the race by the end of 2019 before the first votes in Iowa. I thought there was a lot of Democratic boilerplate, both in the attack on Donald Trump and the praise of Joe Biden.
There was a lot of boilerplate, but that one moment redeemed it. It's not a strong convention, but the Republicans are going to be handicapped by the same thing. It's very hard to do this into a box. She did have an unforced error earlier in the day. Cut number 10, talking to the Asian American Pacific Islander Caucus.
Well, my final points are this. I do believe, and we all know the Chinese character conflict and chaos on the other side is it means opportunity, right? And I do believe that there are opportunities in this moment of crisis.
Opportunity. Never let a crisis go to waste. She said the quiet stuff out loud yesterday. Vice President Pence was in Wisconsin and leveled this attack. Cut 11.
I mean, the truth is Joe Biden and the radical left are deeply out of step with the people of Wisconsin on every issue that matters.
Stop. Did you hear that? Joe Biden and the radical left. Joe Biden and the radical left. It has the additional advantage of being true, to borrow from Dr. Kissinger. But that's what's going to happen. It's the radical left have taken over the Democratic Party. And when we come back, we'll hear Bill Barr talking about it. But they were praising Antifa last night. They were praising all of the protests of the summer, both good and bad. They were accusing you of structural racism. And I just think it didn't play the way they think it played. I think the radical left part of this is dominating the Democratic Party, and I don't think America wants to walk down that road. It'll be a close shave, like Harry's. Don't forget to get up and use your Harry's razor this morning. And if you haven't got Harry's yet, go to harrys.com, use my name, Hugh, and get started on having the best shave of your life. More coming up, America, on this morning's Thursday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt on a Thursday morning. We know President Trump always counterpunches. He got one in early yesterday at his White House presser on President Obama. Cut number 31, anticipating the night's attack that the president launched on him. President Trump started counterpunching early. Cut 31.
Excerpts from Obama's speech that he'll give later at the Democratic Convention show that he says that he hopes that you would take being president more seriously once you had the job and discover reverence for democracy. And then he said, I quote, but he never did. What is your reaction to
that? You know, when I listen to that and then I see the horror that he's left us, the stupidity of the transactions that he made. Look what we're doing. We have our great border wall. We have security. We have the UAE deal, which has been universally praised by people that aren't exactly fans of Donald Trump for various reasons. I don't know why. Can't be my personality, but they're not fans, right? And when I look at what we have, and I look at how bad he was, how ineffective a president he was so ineffective, so terrible. Slowest growing recovery in the history, I guess, since 1929 on the economy. Don't forget, until the China virus came in, we had the greatest economy in the history of the world. And now we're doing it again. I'm going to have to do it a second time. We're doing it again. Hard to believe. We're doing very well. You heard the numbers. They're way, way down on the virus. But when you look at the kind of numbers that we're producing on the stock markets, we're almost at the level. In fact, NASDAQ and S&P are higher than they were at the highest point prior to the China virus coming and the plague coming in. Now, President Obama did not do a good job. And the reason I'm here is because of President Obama and Joe Biden. Because if they did a good job, I wouldn't be here. And probably if they did a good job, I wouldn't have even run. I would have been very happy. I enjoyed my previous life very much. But they did such a bad job that I stand before you as president.
You see, that's what we're going to hear again and again and again. Meanwhile, Mike Pompeo on Fox with Bret Baier made a very telling comment. Cut number 17.
You know, I've been terribly surprised that the Democrats haven't talked about foreign policy enough with no mentions of China. The single greatest challenge to the United States over the next years, the single greatest threat to the United States comes from the Chinese Communist Party. Donald Trump called it early. He talked about it during his campaign in 2015 and again in 2016. And now for 3.5 years, we've imposed cost on China in a way that has protected the American people from this threat. And when they refused to acknowledge the Wuhan virus, when they said, we're going to cover this up, we're going to allow people to travel across the world in spite of the fact that we know it presents a threat, President Trump is aiming to hold them accountable for the enormous loss of life all across the world and the trillions of dollars in economic harm that the Chinese Communist Party allowed to permeate all throughout the world.
Yeah, Secretary of State Pompeo is right. The president is right. I think they've made a huge mistake in banking on Barack Obama being as fond to America as he is on the left, the radical left within the Democratic Party. Meanwhile, Bill Barr yesterday was out giving a presser, which I'm going to play a lot for you after this. But the key point was this, cut 21.
Well, we haven't finished the year yet, and we haven't looked at all the nationwide numbers reported yet. This could be a bad year for violent crime, an arrest, a trend that, as I say, has been going on for almost 30 years. This spike may have a lot of reasons behind it. I think some of it may be the pent-up aggression prompted by state and local quarantine orders. I definitely feel a lot of it is due to the premature release of dangerous criminals by the courts and by prosecutors. And I think it also is related to the efforts that we've recently seen to demonize police and to defund their work.
So you see across the whole broad spectrum, foreign policy, security policy, the failed policy of Obama-Biden years, there's a counterattack already underway, and the president's going to Scranton today, even as Joe Biden somehow. I don't know if he's live tonight. I don't think they would risk that. I don't know. When we come back, however, we'll run down even more of yesterday's big news day yesterday. Got to play for you Rick Grenell. Very important excerpt yesterday. Stay tuned, America. Thursday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show rolls on.
There was a time a long, long time ago. Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right. Hey, man, sing me a song.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. So many of you, hundreds and hundreds of you, have stepped up to send donations to Food for the Poor. And I want to thank you. It has been remarkable. The crisis is remarkable. It's extraordinary in South America and in Central America and in the island regions because of the virus. You know, millions of people are out of work. Food delivery has come to a halt. Your $37 contribution feeds a kid for 6 months, and Food for the Poor has reassembled all of its delivery systems. But today is the last day in the office for Alice Marino of Food for the Poor, a wonderful professional. She has led many Salem senior executives on trips through the heart of the most poverty-stricken regions in Central and South America, to Haiti, to Guatemala, to other places like that. Alice has always been there. So we asked Alice on this, her last day, one final time to explain why you should consider helping out a poor child that you have never met.
Because you can make a difference with just so little. So little goes such a long way. And, you know, God will reward you. And you're going to feel so good about changing the life of a child. So please go online or go on the phone right now and make that difference.
When you do that, you can go to HughHewitt.com. Just go to the very top where it says emergency food relief. As hundreds of you have found it, I know it's pretty easy. It loads last. For some reason, when we put it up there, it loads very last, and you just have to wait for it to load, but it's at the very top. Or you can call 855-359-4673, 855-359-HOPE, 855-359-4673. But I think the easiest is HughHewitt.com. Look for the red banner at the top. thank you, all of you. And Alice, it has been wonderful working with you for 10 years. And this year especially, I'm glad you did not retire last year, because this year they needed you, and you've come through Angel Aloma and these children who you've served forever. She's just a remarkable lady. Food for the Poor is a remarkable organization. You're part of it. You're part of that whole string of saving people when you make a contribution, whether it's $50, $500, $5,000, whatever you give. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me also update the market. Well, first, let's get the good news out of the way, all right? Carlos Santana did it again. The Indians beat the Pirates last night. Now, Cleveland is my hometown, basically. I'm from northeastern Ohio, from Warren. So I follow the Indians, and if we were one game out yesterday, we might be in first place. I don't know what the Twins did last night. But the Pirates are really sad, and I feel bad for Pittsburgh. I really do. They're so sad. They'll get a participation trophy. Carl Catlin told me that yesterday. But Cleveland laying down five in a row, that's your little bit of good news for the day. Market's not so good yesterday. This is brought to you by Birch Gold. I told you on Monday I bought gold. That's because it was nearing 2,000. I have two buy marks, 1,400 and 2,000. Why? Because if it's at 1,400, it's ridiculously undervalued. If it's 2,000, the market's worried about hyperinflation, so I get worried. And I add a little bit to the stock pile. Gold is not a normal investment. It's a hedge investment against collapse or hyperinflation. And I add a little bit every year. I always do it with Birch Gold. Some of you have rolled over a portion of your retirement account, which is smart. 10, 25%, not more than that. Birch Gold doesn't oversell. They don't overpromise, and they always overperform. Terrific professionals. You can either text my name, Hugh, to 474747, or go online to HughGold.com. I deal with Andy Klein, but there are a lot of great people there. A lot of great people. Gold this morning is at $1,933. And so it's a little bit lower than when I bought it, but I don't care. It's not a trading thing. It's not like someone trading a stock. It's a hold-it investment. Buy it and hold-it investment. Yesterday, the Dow was down 85, the NASDAQ off 64, and the S&P down 14. It was having a pretty good day. Then the Fed notes were released late in the day, and it said, well, this is going to take a long time to recover. Counterintuitive with what actually happened yesterday, the number of claims for joblessness fell again. I think they're worried more about Europe, where COVID is surging. Germany recorded the highest daily infection toll, nearing 1,800 cases yesterday. There was a terrorist attack on a highway in Berlin yesterday. And then they had these amazing fires in California. Amazing, I mean bad. Really, really bad. It's one reason why when you buy gold from Birch Gold, you don't leave it at home. You put it in a bank. You put it in a safety deposit box. So you don't have to, if you ever have to evacuate. I mean, Californians, Ben's family had to get out for the second time in 5 years. And they're fine. And Adam's cousin lost their house in the middle of nowhere, California. These raging wildfires. And they're naming them funny. They're called the LNU Lighting Complex. About 25,000 structures are threatened. 124,000 acres are burning. Four civilians have been injured. 175 structures destroyed. There are more than 367 new fires in recent days as a, quote, heat dome sweeps across California. That is the major story, the Wall Street Journal. Wildfires tear across California. And, you know, that's where the government, you need the government. You don't want to defund the police right now, by the way, because after fires, bad people come out and loot. But the Democrats will have defunded the police by now. So remember Birch Gold, and remember as well, if you go out and get a book to get you through the week of vacation you have ahead of you with Labor Day gets near, Brad Thor's Near Dark. Go get Brad Thor's Near Dark. One more thing before I play Rick Grenell. 10 for 20. 10 for 20. What is the number 10, F-O-R, the number 20.com? That is the effort of the Job Creators Network to enlist every conservative talk show host. And I am happy, proud to be sponsored by Job Creators Network. They are the voice of small business in America. Urging you to register to get 10 people to vote in 2020. 10for20.com. The number 10, F-O-R, the number 20.com. They will give you all the tools you need. They will suggest you. It's really your Christmas card list. You don't have to limit yourself to 10, by the way. You can do 20 for 20 or 40 for 20. But 10 for 20 is the website that gives you all the materials you need, tells you where people will vote, helps you identify people. We need to get these people out to vote. Trustworthy voting information, not crazy stuff, not QAnon. The president said something about QAnon yesterday. Listen to this, by the way. It's cut number 32. Listen to the stupid question and the answer. Cut 32.
Well, at the crux of the theory is this belief that you are secretly saving the world from this satanic cult of pedophiles and cannibals. Does that sound like something you are behind?
Okay, stop for a minute. That's not the crux of the theory. There are more theories than there are nuts in QAnon. Yesterday, Facebook went out and took down 790 Facebook-related groups. I want you to get the numbers here. This is in the Wall Street Journal. They took down 790 Facebook groups, 100 Facebook pages, 1,500 QAnon ads. They blocked more than 300 hashtags, and they have restricted more than 1,950 groups and 440 pages on Facebook related to QAnon, and more than 10,000 accounts on Instagram. So what I'm telling you is it's very tiny. I have never even brought it up. I just don't believe you should give attention to QAnon. They're nutters. And if you're a QAnon nutter, please go to a church and get some help and find something useful to do with your life, because it's just crazy stuff. And don't get sucked in. It's kids in basements. It's nutters. But the president then responded. And of course, this became he just responded. I doubt he has any idea what QAnon is, actually, because it's so marginal. I've never mentioned it. Nobody mentions it except some nutty reporter baiting the president in the White House press room. Play his response.
To be a bad thing or a good thing? I mean, you know, if I can help save the world from problems, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to put myself out there. And we are, actually. We're saving the world from a radical left philosophy that will destroy this country. And when this country is gone, the rest of the world would follow. The rest of the world would follow. That's the importance of this country.
Okay, so the president got slammed for that. So he doesn't know what QAnon is, and he kind of sloughs it off. And he said, I'll be willing to save the world. And it's a funny answer. Of course, the left-wing media said he endorsed QAnon. He did nothing of the sort. But that's what we're dealing with here. You've got to realize, Dwayne, where's my quote that I said I was going to play every day? Who Trump really is running against? Is that on here? You promised me you would put it on every run sheet.
We have it.
Okay, let's play this. This is Donald Trump a couple days ago.
Well, I think according to most of the real people, not the fake news and this press that we're running against, because my biggest opponent isn't Biden, it's not the Democrats, it's the corrupt media.
And that was corrupt media yesterday. QAnon, really. Rick Grenell, meanwhile, former ambassador to Germany, former acting director of the Department of National Intelligence, director of National Intelligence, released a video from the log cabin Republicans, gay Republicans, yesterday. And I just want you to hear this because it's so completely on point. Cut number six.
President Trump is the most pro-gay president in American history. I can prove it. My name is Rick Grenell. I'm America's first openly gay cabinet member. As a United States senator, Joe Biden said gay people couldn't receive security clearances because we would be a security risk. Joe must have been terrified when Donald Trump appointed me as acting director of national intelligence. The fact that I'm gay didn't even faze Donald Trump. Joe Biden certainly didn't congratulate the appointment or even acknowledge it. But his silence was deafening. President Trump has done more to advance the rights of gays and lesbians in 3 years than Joe Biden did in 40 plus years in Washington.
I mean, this is you can watch the whole thing. It's devastating because Rick Grenell. Now, Rick is a friend of mine. Discount that. He and his partner, Matt, and National Security Advisor O'Brien Mrs. O'Brien and the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt. We all had breakfast at the beginning of the Trump administration out in the desert. And we were talking about the hopes and possibilities of Team Trump. Never did we imagine that Rick would end up as the director of national intelligence and Robert O'Brien as the national security advisor. But they're serious guys and they had hopes for Trump. They never got sucked into the never Trump. They were not there to be disintermediated. That's never Trump, as Greg Gutfeld said. A lot of people couldn't believe that they're not in the center of the action anymore. And they're very bitter about it. But Rick Grenell puts it out there. The first openly gay cabinet member, Donald Trump, appointed him. The radical left ignored it because the radical left is based on grievances. It is just a grievance-based culture. And we'll see what Joe Biden says tonight. I'll play much of that for you tomorrow. I'm just not sure. I'm really not sure that Joe Biden is going to be live. I haven't seen it. No one's told me if he's going to be live or not. Okay, let remind all of you again. Alice Marino is retiring. Would you make a donation of food for the poor just to honor her as she goes out the door? All these years, she has helped save so many millions of lives. And it's a great day to go to HughHewitt.com and click on the emergency food relief banner because she's such a wonderful person. Come right back on the other side. Michael Oren joins me from Israel. We've got to talk about the UAE deal, the Sudan deal, Saudi Arabia's comments. Lots ahead on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Dr. Michael Oren joins us, former ambassador from Israel to the United States, former deputy minister in the government. And Dr. Oren, for months you have predicted on this show that the release of the Trump peace plan would lead to a breakthrough. And since I last spoke to you, you're not the prophet nor the son of the prophet. But boy, did you see this coming. The United Arab Emirates and Israel strike a peace deal. I just need your reaction to how significant this deal is.
It's a total game changer. It overthrows 30, 50, in some cases, 70 years of assumptions about how you make peace. That Israel had to give up territory to buy peace, that the Palestinian-Israel conflict was the core conflict of the whole Middle East. You solved that. You solved all the problems. But the core of that problem was the settlements, that the Palestinians have to be rewarded every time they lose the table. Everything, that entire peace industry, and it's vast. You know, it's Washington. It's all the think tanks. It's the media. It's universities. All gets overthrown in one fell swoop. And it opens up myriad possibilities. The wedding of Israeli technology with Arab resources. Israel's the world's most innovative country with the world's wealthiest country per capita. And that's transformative for the entire world. And
it is.
The great irony of it is the Palestinians are going to internalize. The time's not on their side. The chances of them coming back to the table are far greater now than ever before.
I'd add as well, yesterday Sudan announced that they are getting close to dealing with Israel. I read the Saudi Arabian foreign minister's remarks as blessing the UAE deal. What else do you think is happening in the aftermath of the United Arab Emirates and Israel striking an accord?
Well, on the diplomatic plane, it's Bahrain, it's Oman. I think the Saudis are going to see whether this is going to, redound to everyone's benefit. They're not going to sit inside if everyone's doing great deals in the Middle East. Not going to sit on the side, particularly in areas like communications and energy. We're great in energy. So, they'll join as well, too. And, even the president of Lebanon, who's closely allied with Hezbollah, started hinting around that maybe Lebanon would be open to it, too. Imagine what we could do with Lebanon. It'd be amazing. Just in the area of rebuilding Beirut and tourism. So that's amazing. All of that is going to be happening. It's interesting. I know of middle-sized businesses in Israel that have received communications from their counterparts in the Gulf already saying, oh, isn't this great? Let's do business together.
Ambassador Oren, your follow-on successor, Ron Dermer, dealt with Ambassador Otaibi, who I know you must have done. But this is so complicated at so many levels. Your Mossad head was over in the UAE. Netanyahu and MBZ were dealing together. Trump and Jared Kushner and Robert O'Brien, deeply involved. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Brian Hook. How did this stay secret, or did it stay secret?
Our relationship with the OE has always been sort of an open secret. I had very good relationships with Ambassador Taiba as well. Terrific man. They kept the peace process secret. Nobody knew the details of this peace plan until it was unveiled at the White House. So whatever criticism you may have of this administration, in the Middle East, they know how to keep a secret.
Now the last thing before we run out of time, it was so ignored by the American news media, caught up in this bizarre post office conspiracy. Do you think Americans understand how significant this is?
Well, I hope they do, because the quickest way to reverse what has been achieved would be to go back and renew the Iran nuclear deal, because clearly this happened because of common opposition to America's support for that deal. The quickest thing you could do is to give the Palestinians more reason to leave the table and not negotiate. So, I'm not the prophet. I don't know who's going to win in November, but I think if someone comes into the White House and reverses all this, it's going to be very damaging for the peoples of the Middle East.
Any good signs at all out of the Palestinian Authority? I expect nothing from Abbas, but was there any good signal that, okay, let's sit down and do this deal?
Well, first of all, you know, like everyone was, again, once again, we heard that if you make peace with Israel, Arab makes peace with Israel, you recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the Palestinians are going to go into a third intifada. They're going to riot. They're going to burn everything. Guess what? Nothing happened. Again, nothing happened. So that's good. Not a reaction is also a good reaction. And I will not be surprised if in the coming weeks you're going to start hearing from the Palestinians a readiness to go back to the table. And one of the things that Mahmoud Abbas is most afraid of is a guy named Dahlan. He's a Palestinian leader who is backed by the Emirates. And he's 30 years younger and ready to move in. So, and he's in favor of negotiating. So, you know, I think there's going to be tremendous pressure on Abbas now to say,
all right, now,
to start
very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Times of Israel says you're going to go to elections because you can't do a budget deal. True or false?
And, you know, every week I say, you ask me that question, and I always say, no, we're not going to go. We're not going to go. My fear now is we're going to fall into elections and nobody even wants them. And it's going to be like August 1914. And it's a fear. It'll be terrible if that happens. This government was formed to fight corona. It has not done a very good job of fighting corona. And if it goes to elections, it'll basically be defeat, and many people will pay a political price.
Would Likud emerge at the end of it with a majority?
Yeah, because it's a right-wing coalition, and they still have a significant majority. But I think that Bennett, which runs the right-wing party, most right-wing party, which are very much opposed to the peace plan and also the non-annexation of the West Bank, will gain immensely in these elections.
Interesting. Dr. Michael Oren, always a pleasure. Follow him on Twitter at Dr. Michael Oren, Dr. Michael Oren. I'm coming right back with David Deptula, the Lieutenant General of the Air Force, who's going to talk to us about the UAE, which is going to get F-35s, apparently, as a consequence of the UAE-Israel agreement. And we'll talk about what that means, America. Stay tuned. Serious stuff and fun on the next hour of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.